Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Malaprops and Moxie. Today's episode is very special and close to home to me. I probably say that too often, but my guest is Rich Sainer, who is the duo, one of the duos of the Rich and Bennett pub crawls that take place here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Unfortunately, back in 2020, our dear friend Jeff Bennett passed away suddenly, and we miss him dearly, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to sit down with one of his best friends and business partners, Rich, to just talk through Jeff's legacy, a little bit about who he was, how they grew this friendly kind of friends in town pub crawl into, you know, multiple tens of thousands of people every single year. And this year is really special because not only is Jeff not with us anymore, but they're celebrating 20 years of this pub crawl. So I hope this story is a great one for you to listen to. I hope that it resonates with you. And if you knew Jeff Bennett, hopefully this makes you smile. Well, hello, Rich.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Malaprops and Moxie. I would love if you could tell everybody who you are, what you do, anything you want to share about yourself, and then we'll get into like why you're here.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Rich Sainer, as you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you knew I had a last name.
I do. I actually have you saved in my phone as Rich Sainer.
Okay,
so.
Good.
You were like Rich and Bennett for a long time.
I've had people email me, "Hey, Rich Bennett, what's up?" Or like a check's made out to me as Rich Bennett.
I love it.
So yeah, I do have a last name. It's Sainer. Okay. Looks like Sonner, but S-A-N-E-R. So yeah, a little about me. Born and raised in Illinois. Dad got transferred to Virginia. Went to high school in Virginia. Small school for college, Elon.
Hey,
we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yep.
where I met Bennett and moved here in 97, so that's going to show some age. Yep, older than any of the buildings around
you
this
look
area.
Great though.
Thanks, it's the beard. I could use a little dye too in the beard. It's getting gray.
No,
my wife says
she'll
divorce me if I shave it, but I'm like, you know, I'll probably look younger without the beard, but I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, moved here for, graduated in 97 from Elon College. Now it's Elon University.
Yep.
Which I couldn't afford nor would be smart enough to get in right now. So I'm glad I went in the late 90s.
Right.
And just started looking for jobs. Found a job working for an office kind of supply company. I was in sales for 6-7 years and then got into what we're going to talk about a little today. And,
yeah.
And here we sit.
I love it. Yes. And so that leads me to the malaprop in real life, which is essentially like when something in your life starts out as like maybe something fun or a hobby or like, hey, we enjoy this. And now it's literally your like your job, your career, your like livelihood. And so to not give too many details away, we're going to get into that. But that is kind of the concept of today. And so for anyone who doesn't know what or who Rich and Bennett is, maybe tell us about Rich and Bennett, like the company, and then we can dive into like how it started.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Rich and Bennett, the company, if you're unfamiliar with us, or is an events party company, mm-hmm. we kind of tried to be professional and say event planning, but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it could fall under that in some tax documents.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when there's you don't have pub crawl aficionado on there.
Right.
But so we just started throwing, you know, some events, and I'll get into that later. But
yeah.
Essentially, we threw 4 to 5 events a year. And,
okay.
And from pub crawls, which most people are familiar with, our big St. Patrick's Day pub crawl, which just happened. It's been 4 or 5 weeks or now after a 2+ year hiatus.
Yeah.
Really 3 years because we hadn't done it since 2019. And
yeah.
Do a big Halloween crawl. And then we did some tubing trips back in the day, which are really
fun.
Yeah. The insurance companies didn't think they were as fun, so we had to pull the plug on those because we couldn't get them insured anymore. But
they're like water and drinking? No.
Yeah, it was kind of more the BYOB thing because there was no regulation on it. So, you know, people could bring whatever they wanted, and we were on a bus for 4 hours a day and on a river for 6 hours and in woods. You know, we don't know what those people were doing.
We
can't really insure that. But
yeah,
which, you know, funny part of our business. People don't think about those types of things,
sure.
Like, you know, the stresses of getting insurance or,
yes,
you know, but
all the behind the scenes things.
Yeah. In an industry that's not easily insured.
Yeah.
So you don't really fit into any mold there. Like, we're not a restaurant. We're not a bar. We're not a music festival. We're just, hey, we're guys that do restaurant tours, quote unquote.
Sure.
You know, to sound nice. But anyways, that's the Rich and Bennett company.
Yeah.
And then just personally on my end, in 2004, I spun off and started Rock House Events,
yep.
which is the same stuff, just on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know, we do a lot of little tiny events as yeah. opposed to the three or four big events that Bennett and I would do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Rich and Bennett little brother. I'm trying to think of a good like sitcom spinoff for
yeah.
this. Maybe like A Different World from a Cosby Show. Yeah. I'm probably showing my age right there. I need something more modern.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
My listeners would know The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, fun fact, I still to this day for years still use my Rock House blue lunchbox. I don't know when I got it, but I was doing one of your events and yeah. I you know, it was probably like laying there and I still bring it every day.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's still there.
Because those barely made it to a concert and back.
Oh,
they
really?
Were made so poorly. Yeah.
Well, I
don't put liquid in them.
I don't, definitely okay, good, not. But it's like the only thing that will fit my Tupperware. So thank you for right. making lunchboxes.
That made my day.
Yeah, good.
That made my day.
I'm going to take a picture.
And anyone listening to this, just so you know, they weren't made as lunchboxes. We're not like handing these out to children.
Yeah.
They actually were probably designed as lunchboxes. We used them as coolers.
Yeah,
so
it definitely looks like a cooler type of
situation.
They were
sold to me as a cooler. Function more of a lunchbox. Like,
totally.
Let's not plan on anything being cold in there longer than hours.
Yeah,
so.
You can't put ice in it.
No ice.
Definitely
not. No. No. We would sell those, or the bar would sell those
yeah.
before we took concert buses to PNC
oh.
for Verizon for shows.
Yeah.
And like on the way home, you could have, segueing back to the tubing trips, you could have tubed down the bus aisle.
Right.
Because it was just soaking wet with these dumb coolers.
Oh my gosh.
That couldn't hold like four ice cubes.
Right.
So.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's good to know. She's still kicking.
Good.
Going strong. Okay, so Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who's listening, we're talking about the Jeff Bennett, who is a longtime friend of yours, definitely a friend of mine for at least a decade, who passed away recently. And this episode is kind of like a tribute to him. It's an ode to him. It's an opportunity to continue to tell stories about him. And the legacy he leaves behind. But tell us how you and Jeff, or Bennett, whoever you want to refer him to, how you met and when kind of you're deciding to go into business together, like how that came into life.
Gotcha. It's an interesting story. Nothing too creative. you know, the world powers, or the world intervened and put us at the same college.
Yeah.
And he was from New Jersey. I was in Virginia. And we both ended up at Elon at the same time. And it was I don't know if it was just the way things were back in the day. We lived in the same dorm,
okay.
But the dorm we lived in, which was Sloan, like the toilets, if
yeah.
you know, probably no relation.
I was like, I've never heard of a Sloan toilet.
Yeah, another podcast I listened to, they're an advertiser.
Sloan, oh.
So yeah, so maybe that's just stuck in my head.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
That's
you can
okay.
edit that out.
That's okay. Sloan, you can sponsor me if you want.
Yeah. And anyways, so I was on the third floor. He was on the second floor, three-floor dorm. And you just kind of hung out at least those first months with, like, your floor.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't really. And it kind of went that way the entire school year. Like, we didn't venture much outside of our floor, minus, obviously, like, classes and trying to, like, meet girls.
Duh.
You know, because we were in an all-male dorm. And we'd, you know, we'd play the different floors and intramurals. And they were kind of, like, more rivals than buddies.
Yeah.
And that's how freshman year went. So I had always seen him. I knew who he was, but we didn't know each other.
Oh.
And fast forwarding to the second year, I got in a fraternity my sophomore year. He was actually in a rival fraternity, but all of his good friends from freshman year were in my fraternity.
I see.
And in typical, I'm going to sound like a broken record by the end of this, but just being Bennett,
mm-hmm.
the most friendly guy in the world,
yeah.
the guy that would get outside his comfort zone more than anyone. You know, in college, you know, you can get a little clicky being in your fraternities or sororities. You kind of stick together.
Yeah.
And he constantly was hanging out with us in a different fraternity or other people. And he just,
yeah.
you know, never met a stranger and
totally.
Loved to put himself in different social scenes. I think he would, such an extrovert, he would get bored being in the same circle 24/7.
Totally. He's like a merger of worlds, you
he
know?
Really is.
He's
really
like, come in.
Yep.
yeah.
Yep. He was the nucleus
yeah.
for a lot of friend groups and,
yeah.
and continues to be, even not being here today.
Honestly, yeah.
But, yeah, so anyhow, we, you know, I graduated, moved to Charlotte for work. He decided to take a tour of Elon one more year and then stuck around for to work in admissions at school.
Yep.
And I was living with a friend and his wife, and it was a great setup, the best I've ever eaten because she was a phenomenal cook.
Love it.
But he had called me and said, hey, I got a job in Charlotte. Would you be interested in living without a couple? I was like, yeah, I'd love that. Even as great as the couple was, because it truly was the easiest living situation I've had, minus my current one.
Yep.
Yep. Love you, Tara.
Shout out.
But yeah, so I said yes, and we became friends, you know, better friends throughout college. We never got to a point at Elon where we'd maybe directly call each other, because it was hard to, like, timing with landlines.
Absolutely.
Like, you had to beep each other.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, we were good friends. We did a lot, you know, through mutual friends, I guess, at Elon, and then good enough friends where he approached me to live together, and I was like, absolutely, that'll be a blast. And
yeah.
So he moved to Charlotte, and I think about a month before he lived to Charlotte, two good friends of ours, lived up in Boston from Elon.
Mm-hmm.
And our one friend Beth, the Everts, her family, I think her older sister, headed up a winter pub crawl in Boston every year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you start out at the Bell in Hand, which is one of the oldest pubs in, if not America, the world.
Oh, wow.
For sure, America. And, I mean, it was incredible. It's very small. I mean, there's like 50, 60 people. Her parents, it was on a Saturday, they were, you know, devout Catholic, so they'd come for a couple pubs, go to Mass, meet us back on the pub crawl.
Gosh.
And we were just chatting on the ride home on the plane and just saying, man, that was a blast. You know, we should do something like this in Charlotte. Let's put one together. Looking at the calendar, the next holiday when he was about to officially move in with me was St. Patrick's Day. It fell on a Saturday, and we just went for it. We started putting out the word to our friends. It was not a business at the time. Nor was it for years.
Sure.
And that's kind of how we got our start. You know, we did the first St. Patrick's Day crawl and had 60, 70 people. I actually, in cleaning out some, getting a little sentimental, cleaning some things out with this crawl we just did.
Yeah.
I found for years, as I used to be in the file folder sales business, right, amongst other office things. So for the first 10, 12 crawls, every documentation, like faxing t-shirt companies' designs and things
like that. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Was it kept in a manila file folder?
Wow.
And I found the very first one, and we had everybody's signature, like who we thought was coming, like number 1 through 65. And if they checked in and paid us, we'd check their name off, like with a pen.
Like, yeah, physically with your hands.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it started that small, and I've got the documentation for that, which was pretty entertaining. It's a nice artwork we drew on the cover, but
oh my god, I would love to see that.
I should have brought that. And yeah, I mean, it was a good time. We had fun, and you know, we kind of looked at each other afterward and said, hey, that was fun, let's do that for Halloween.
Yeah.
And so that following fall we did Halloween, and then kind of things just started moving.
So you reached out to your like friends and family and were like, yo, come to Charlotte on this weekend, we're gonna give you like a list of all these places that we're going to go. And people just said like, sure, we'll come. And you were like, we'll make you a shirt. And that's all you did.
That was it. In the first year we had a bus because we could all fit on one bus.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Cause we actually started in,
also like how many bars were in Charlotte at that point?
Not good question.
Cause like, I'm thinking about like, where would you go?
So that's a great point. We lived uptown at the time. We lived in Fourth Ward in a place called the Arbors on Graham Street. It's something different now. I'm blanking on the name.
That's okay.
Right next to Corner Pub, but which wasn't there at the time, but so we had registration at South End Brewery is where the first stop was, where we took the bus. I take that back. We actually did that at our apartment in another buddy's condo and then loaded the bus. But the first kind of rally point, if you didn't catch the bus, was South End Brewery. So to answer your point, there weren't enough bars in South End or Uptown.
Right.
So we did a combo. I think we did four bars in South End and then the other three Uptown.
Hmm.
And by the next year, our numbers had grown to like 150.
Yeah.
I think we had lost money the first year, which it wasn't supposed to be a business anyways, but neither one of us made much money. We're in a lot of debt and we're like, let's at least find a break even here. So let's eliminate the bus and just do it all uptown where we can walk to everything.
That's smart.
So, yeah.
So like, when do you feel like you realized that it was scaling at a rate that was like, oh shit, this is like something, you know, like was there a moment? I don't know.
I think there are different moments for both of us. And there wasn't one clear one. And to be honest, we still to this day, you know, I still it hasn't registered with me what it is. It still seems so mom and pop. I mean, you've totally. Been behind the scenes with us. Like,
it's friends and family.
It really is totally. All friends and family and very few, like, employees putting this on.
Yeah.
And it's just, we just feel like we're two guys in a garage that we're doing it for years. But I remember one year a buddy of mine called me and he's like, how many do you have for the crawl tomorrow? And I was like, I don't know. I think we're around 11 or 12,000 people so far. And he goes, the Hornets had 9,000 people last night. Or it was the Bobcats at the time.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, whoa. Okay. And that registered a little bit for me. And I guess another year nine, the Travel Channel wanted to cover us and they did a big segment on us. Mm. And that was kind of like, whoa, this is really getting big. Hmm. And probably before that, you know, it's just been different at different times. It hits me different ways. I mean, I'm sure that when we got to 2,000 people, we were like, this is insane.
Right.
How is this happening?
Right.
And
every year that you get bigger, you're like, oh my God.
And it's great. And Bennett's dad, Gary, who's hilarious and just like one of my favorite people in the world. Every year he would kind of try to talk us down a little and he'd talk to Bennett and say, Jeff, you know, I'm so happy that you guys had such a great year, but just don't get your hopes up for next year because you're probably not going to be able to meet that number.
Yeah.
And it just kept going up.
Yeah. And of course it just kept growing. Yeah.
It did. And we're just lucky. I mean, Charlotte, I mean, we just happened to be doing this in one of the greatest cities in America for our demographic and the growth and, you know, a lot of luck involved.
Yeah. I love that. So when you think of you and him as like business partners or, like you said, two buddies, like putting on pump crawls, like, what do you feel like, how is Jeff as your partner? What did he add to the mix? Like, what was it about him other than literally what we just said, how he's like hardcore extroverted, merging of the worlds? Like, what was it about him that made this thing like worth doing every year and multiple times a year?
I mean, the obvious, him, as you just said, being the extroverted person. And I mean, those first few years, I was a little bit more introverted than he was. I was never not more introverted than he was. I should take that back. But I mean, the more and more we lived together, I mean, we were roommates to the point where it was almost common law marriage in North Carolina. Yeah. I think like close to 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would draw a little bit more of that out of me every year. But he was just, I mean, just a positive force to be around with the whole thing. And what he really brought to all our events was just interaction with the people, which is something I severely lack at. Mm. I'm the guy like looking in the corner and hoping the curtain closes behind me. But Bennett, he just, you know, he didn't care if you made 10 bucks an hour or were a $250,000 banker or whatever. If he saw you at one of our events, he wanted to go up to you and talk to you and ask you where you're from. Was this your first event? Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
And just really embraced people and kind of gave our events that personal touch. Mm. You know, aside from everything else he would bring to the table, he brought a lot of creativity to the process.
Yeah.
You know, he was the guy that 9 times out of 10 was coming up with we should do this for the shirt this year. We should do that. He just has that creative spark and that energy and kind of makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and do something.
Yeah. I was going to say, because like when you guys get into the weeks leading up to your events, it's always like craziness because you're doing prepay events. You're trying to get like to all these places and like selling your shirts or tickets or whatever. Like I can imagine that as someone who's not as extroverted, you would just want to like collapse and like hide in a closet. And he probably is just like, no, we got this. Like, it's good. Let's go. Like, here's the energy. And, you know, like, recruiting. I remember personally, I worked in admissions with Jeff.
Right.
And I remember like he was my like mentor when it comes to like career. So I viewed him as this like professional who like knew a lot about college admissions. Right. And like he taught me how to like do a college fair and like how to talk to students. And like, and then I remember the first time he was like, yeah, so like me and my friend, like we do these pub crawls, like would you want to come work? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you're asking me to come like drink with you? Like, I was so confused. And but then I remember showing up and like I met the like all the friends and family like you just mentioned, and it I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, how I would have never guessed that him, especially like someone who I looked up to as like this buttoned up suit wearing like admissions counselor who was really friendly, was also doing this like amazingly fun thing on the side.
It's so funny to hear that view of it because I don't have that perspective. I only know the wild and crazy Jeff Bennett.
Sure.
You know, I don't know the the buttoned up ones. And it's funny because I remember, and we had probably met, I forget the name of that academic building at Queens where you guys worked in.
The Harris House.
Because we would have some meetings over there because he just didn't have time. And we'd shut his office door and be like, are you supposed to be doing this right now? Like, he's like, yeah, I got my work done. We're good. And everyone in admissions was probably giving us dirty looks.
No, I mean, I feel like those days at Queens were like truly the glory days because, I mean, you know, like Kristen Miller, Leah Beth, like Caitlin, Chelsea, you name it. Oh, like there were so many of us that we just loved Jeff. And so like if Jeff asked us to do something, we were like, duh, we're going to do it. Right. And so, you know, if he was involved, he just made you want to say like, sure, I'm in, you know?
Yep.
Which I love.
Yep. That's 100%. He could convince anyone to do anything.
Seriously. And he was always like, dressed up and like I was voted most spirited in high school. So I think when I realized who he was outside of like the office, it just made so much more sense as to like why I wanted to be friends with him. Cause I'm like, oh, we're from the same blood. Like we get it. We're extroverted. We love people. We want to dress up. Like I was addicted to that energy.
Right.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously there's some bad news in this story and we lost him, right? That fucking sucked and it was horrible. So tell me, so he passed before you guys could kind of recover from COVID because obviously you couldn't have a 20,000 plus person bar crawl with a pandemic. But, you know, when that happened and he was no longer here, like, what did you want to do? Were you like, all right, that's it, I'm done? Or were you like, I need to figure out like how to keep this going? Like, tell me a little bit about what was going on in your head. Feel free to go as deep or not as you want, because I want to respect, you know, you and your feels. But
no, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I had all of those emotions. Mm-hmm. The knee jerk was I can't see doing this without him.
Yeah.
And that was the knee. And it didn't last long because like once you could kind of like common sense think through some things.
Sure.
You know, I want to keep that legacy alive and can do some financial good for his children.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there were more reasons to do it than not do it. You know, the only reason to not do it was just my emotions and that's it. And too many other things outweighed that as a positive.
Yeah.
You know, still bringing people together. And that's what he was all about.
Sure.
You know, was bringing people together and having a good time. And, you know, he would not be happy.
He'd be pissed.
He'd be pissed if this, he'd be like, I did this for 20 years.
Right.
And it was our 20th annual that we was coming up that we didn't get a chance to do.
That was going to be 2020 was the 20th
year? In 2020.
Year?
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy.
I know. So it's, for a second it was pretty emotional.
Sure.
It's still emotional. But,
100%. Yeah.
But there was too much good to be done and too many positives to not go on without him. It was just a lot tougher doing it without him.
Yeah.
Especially St. Patrick's Day this year. So the way, good and bad, how things worked out, you know, obviously 2021 rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
He had passed away in December of 2020. Mm-hmm. And if COVID hadn't have been here and we were allowed to do it, I'm sure I would have done it, but I did not want to do it.
Yeah.
I was actually, people were calling me saying, hey, I'm so sorry you can't do it this year. And, you know, you're financially hurting. And I was like, I tell you the truth, this is a blessing in disguise because I do not want to do this event right now without Bennett. Like this,
it was so close to March that like I wouldn't have even been able to understand how you would have done that.
Yeah, and it as it worked out, we were able to, you know, I was able to do the other three events before St. Patrick's Day without him.
Yep.
So it was almost a kind of training wheels type thing.
Ease your way in.
And the very first one was the smallest one we do, the newest one that's only been around for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, all right, ease your way into that.
And, yeah.
And I think that helped a lot. But this year, St. Patrick's Day was definitely way more emotional than those three events for sure. Just
100%.
Because that was our baby. That's what we're known for.
I was, so I was at the pub crawl. It's the first one I've not really worked in a while, so it felt weird, but yeah, like, I guess I know how I felt showing up to it as like a participant, right? I like went and bought my shirt from Glory Days. I like put it on the morning
of.
Sure,
you've earned a free shirt by this point.
I wanted to buy it this year.
You.
If I could, I can't remember the last time I bought a shirt, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and buy this because okay. why not? Right.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. I appreciate Absolutely. It. Yeah. So like, I know what it was like for me and like our friends who normally are at the check-in and like mm-hmm. putting wristbands on people and slinging shirts and all that. But like, what do you feel like was your goal, for doing the pub crawl this year? And like, what do you feel like was the reaction of the crowd, the people? Like, I don't know, share a little bit about that maybe I didn't get to see or mm-hmm. people that are listening, you know, are curious of knowing, you know?
Yeah. The goal this year, honestly, was just get through it. You know, after yeah. it's been a messy 2 years to say the least.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of wanting to get this one done and in the books and get it over with, but also kind of take some things in along the way and take time to like, not that he doesn't pop in my head every day,
sure,
but you know, take some extra time. And it was emotional. There was, you know, definitely some tears that
we were definitely crying at the bar for sure. I think I cried like 3 times at the bar, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And even before I started drinking too,
of course. But, yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I think the goal was just to get through it.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, that was one that we talked about for a decade.
Yeah.
Well, a decade plus, because we had, since 2010, we'd been saying, could you imagine if we made it another 10 years?
Oh, like, my gosh.
I'll never forget an interview he gave. We used to have just different local media cover, you know, yeah. channels cover us. And one of the years, I want to say it was for the 10th annual. And I remember his interview. I forget which station. I wish I could find it, the clip, because it was unbelievable. But the phrase he used was, I've never done anything for 10 years. So the fact that, because he bounced around career-wise for a while.
Totally. You know,
he was in recruiting for a while. That's he was in admissions at Elon, then moved, was a like a recruiter headhunter in Charlotte for a while. And then a high school history teacher and football coach.
Yep.
And then back into admissions for a long time, and then into apparel and marketing and started another side hustle or side company. And you know, so it was just funny that, like, I've never done anything for 10 years. So the fact that we've done this for 10 is pretty amazing. And since that interview, he and I had always sidebar just about, could you imagine if this thing makes it to 20?
Oh my gosh.
And even though things were going well, like, you still didn't think it was gonna.
Sure.
And then it really seemed like it wasn't gonna.
Right.
but yeah, that was just kind of, I think, one of the highlights of this year, was just getting through it and knowing, hey, kind of have my little internal conversations with him and say, hey, we made it. Like,
yeah.
And I just, it's so depressing and frustrating that he wasn't here to,
I know,
to do it.
Yeah.
And to be part of what he built. And, and I know it was both us, but really he really was the driving force in the early years here. And then it kind of took me along for the ride for a while.
Yeah.
And we just worked great as a team, but you know, without him, this thing wouldn't have made it to year 5.
It's
or
crazy.
To year 20.
Right. And I love that, like, I mean, even this past March and even like pub crawls past, like when I showed up to the lot where you guys do your like party check-in, like you see his, you know, his partner, you see his parents, you see his, you know, cousins and family, his friends, like there were still so many pieces of him, like, as if, you know, what else will we be doing today? Mm-hmm. Obviously, these are the only plans we made. And like, you know, I'm definitely like, my body rejects pub crawls at this point, but I was like, I'm gonna go, because why, like, I can't not, you know what I mean? So it was cool to see. I felt like he was there, you know, like there was definitely like a spirit for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
And we, you know, I said earlier in this, I'd sound like a broken record, but he brought so many people together.
Yeah.
I mean, that day, the amount of people that were there on his behalf, not mine, and they were, I'm sure they were there for me too.
Of course.
But they were, you know, they were better friends, or they were related to him, or,
sure,
you know, they're there for the both of us, but that were there really for him too. It was just unbelievable, like the support we got from his kind of OG friends and his family and just everyone that he touched. I mean, it's, you know, it's incredible what he's produced and the amount of bringing the organic friendships he's brought together. Yeah.
Well, talk to me a little bit about what you've been able to, you said there's like good that has come out of this. Tell me what you've been able to create in honor of Jeff, and that way his legacy like lives on.
As far as like the legacy for him,
yeah.
To me, it's just keeping what he built, which is our events, you know, that bar crawl.
Yeah.
You know, his sons who now live in Michigan with their mother are, you know, just slowly, they're not even teenagers yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be cool if this was still here when they were 21 and they could come back and see what their dad built.
Yeah.
And maybe have a sense of pride in that. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just keeping his energy, what he loved to do, around and not letting that, you know, ride off into the sunset if the events go. And it's going to be impossible with his personality.
Yeah.
Whether there was a bar call or not, there are hundreds and hundreds of people that will forever talk about Jeff Bennett and tell amazing Jeff Bennett stories.
Yep.
There's so many strangers out there telling Jeff Bennett stories.
Yeah.
That, hey, I ran into this guy at the airport or at a Yankees game or at a Giants game or at a Panthers game. And he just had so many incredible interactions with just the widest variety of people you could imagine that, you know, pub crawl or no pub crawl. But I think if we can keep that legacy going, you know, maybe do some financial good for his kids.
Sure.
Then
I love that. So I have a funny story about Jeff, and then I'm going to ask you like maybe one of your favorites. I know you probably have a billion, but when I went on the road with him for the first time, we were going to, God, what was it? It was like, is there a Taylorsville, North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. I think, or Thomasville.
There's both.
I think we were going to Thomasville, North Carolina, which for anybody.
You just want a town named after yourself. Taylorsville.
Apparently.
Freudian slip.
I just remember it being like kind of a middle of nowhere town. And he's like, all right, like we're going to go to this high school and I'm going to show you how to do things. And I'm like watching him like work his magic. And I'm just like, holy crap, you're like so good at this. Like, how am I ever going to learn what you know? And then we get done and he's like, all right, we got to find the weirdest like hole in the wall place to go eat lunch. I'm like, okay, like sure. So we end up finding the Thomasville like diner and we walk in and the first thing we see is this acrylic box with a dead like taxidermy deer in it. And he was like, oh, what's this? And so he's like, start reading the sign. He's like, come on, let's take a picture. So we took a selfie with the dead deer in the box and he's like, all right, let's go get some lunch. And I just remember being like, this is the most strangest but most fun like random work trip that I've ever had. Yep. And like ever since then, that has been like the tone that he set for anything that we did together, whether it was work related or friend related or at the pub crawls. Like he just, you could always count on him to be random and maybe a little weird, hilarious and like creative.
Yep.
Like that. I just felt like you were never bored when you were around him.
Never bored.
Right?
Never bored. That's a great segue to this is back in his high school teaching days.
Okay.
Now there's nothing, but it was where there used to be a bar on South Boulevard called Vinny's.
Okay.
Which is where Rosemont was. They just knocked down.
Yep.
And, you know, I had a 9-to-5 job at the time. I get home. It's whatever day it was. I think it was the middle of like February or March Madness. And, you know, teachers could go out and drink at like 3:30, yeah. especially on Friday, right?
Right.
They're done a hard week. And he calls me and I'm like, well, you know, I'm still on, you know, wearing a suit type time right now. So I've got two more hours of work.
Right.
Like, okay, well, come to Vinny's when you're done. I'm like, whatever. Get home. I'm exhausted. Long week. Not coming. He keeps calling. Right out of Ferris Day's, you know, if you have Ferris Bueller's Day off, you know, he'll keep calling.
Yep.
I'll go. So I go. By the time I got there, he knows everyone in the bar like usual. He had entered us into some quarter bouncing tournament through Bud Light and ESPN. We had a few too many adult beverages, but somehow like we're coherent enough to wear it or to win the tournament.
Oh.
And that we didn't know was a like the town final.
Yeah.
Of like everyone who'd ever played in these things. And by the end of the night, we had two tickets to Vegas to compete in the national tournament.
Oh.
Hosted by Trey Wingo at the MGM. Oh. And I'm like, what did you get us into? Like, and it all happened in like a 3-hour. Before I knew what happened, I'm like, wait, we're going to Vegas in 2 weeks?
I just thought I was coming to get a drink in my suit after work.
Yeah. And it's like, side note, you're good at bouncing quarters?
Wait. Is that when you like throw the quarter on the table and it goes into like a cup or something?
A little hoop, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, he was up for anything.
I love that.
At all times, you know. And that was just why people gravitate to him because, you know, he'll come take a picture with a like animal carcass on a wall in the middle of the day with an employee of his or
with this girl that doesn't know anything about her job.
Right.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, I think too, like, it's just, I don't know. I'm appreciative of like what I got to learn from him, what I got to absorb from him. And like you said, it's like, he always pops into my head and like, it just, he encourages you to like be that bubbly, outgoing, like better person, kind human, you know, you name it, fill in the blank.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, let's, I'm trying to think of how I want to shift this. Before I do like my malaprop of the day and, well, yeah, let me do that first. So every episode I give like a sentence and use a malaprop because why not? That's like my whole MO. So I'm going to use a sentence. I've already picked one out. I would assume that you're going to know that this is incorrect, but we'll see. I think you and I can both agree that Jeff Bennett's legacy is unparalyzed. It's supposed to be unparalleled.
Yep.
I made sure to find a word that like really gave him like tried to give a definition that like it's true. Like he is unlike anyone I've ever met. So anyways.
Which could paralyze some people in the right, you know, just standing against a wall watching
An introvert would be paralyzed by his. Yeah.
No, that's a good one. Okay, I applaud that one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Well, if you would like to share with the listeners, maybe like your next event or where they can find you on social or like, I don't know, how they can get involved or, you know, support you in your business.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So for Rich and Bennett, our next event is AmeriCrawl.
Yes.
Which is kind of a 4th of July themed. Everyone loves America.
Yes.
We do that usually the Saturday before 4th of July. I think it's two Saturdays before this year because July 2nd might be a Saturday and that seemed a little too close to the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a neat little crawl. I say little because it's not St. Patrick's Day, but we still get, you know, probably 600-700 people last year and everyone's chanting USA and wearing obnoxious USA gear. Red, we don't do t-shirts or anything for that. So it's kind of fun to not have to like bring the t-shirts and see everyone's creative.
Yeah.
Kind of Americana.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Okay.
But richandbennett.com, very simple. I assume all of our social media are the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't control that a lot of the time. But at Rich and Bennett is usually...
I'm fact checking you right now as we speak.
Yeah. I'm 99.9% positive it's at Rich and Bennett.
I love it.
Should know that.
Yes, Rich and Bennett. Wow.
Close one.
Good job.
Close one. Social media company would kill us.
I know. Well, I'll tag you in the post for the podcast so people will be able to find you. Yeah, and I'm just thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing. You know, I hope that the stories keep going. I know they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I can stop you before you cut this off, I ever have a podcast, I want some of the Queen's people to come on and I want to reverse this and I just want Queen's admission stories.
Oh, we have so many. Oh my gosh. I would love that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. We got to get more mics in here though, because there's a lot of people to share the stories.
That's four, definitely not enough.
I know. Gosh, now I want to like go back and look at all the photos and like pictures of us when we were like, you know, head deep in like files and we were eating pizza and drinking beer and just like trying to make admissions decisions on all these kids. Those are the glory days. I love it. Awesome.
Now I know how three redheads ended up in one 4-room suite at Elon for me.
Correct.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we are going to totally screw with these guys.
Yes.
Three redheads in one suite.
Yeah. They're like, oh, this sounds good. Yeah. Residence Life had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
pizza
gosh.
Pizza and beer.
Thanks. I love it. Well, is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with?
No. Okay. Just, you know, I'm glad anyone that took the time to listen to this. Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
And I love
talking. Sorry it took so long, by the way.
No, it was great. And I love talking about Jeff. You know, some people approach it, you know, get a little, I don't want to bring him up or that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was ironically a couple weeks before he passed. I couldn't tell you what show was on TV. It was on the background. And I heard this quote and it stuck in my mind. And then unfortunately, 2 weeks later, it came to fruition. But it said, people die twice. They die when they physically pass away, and then they die when you say their name for the last time.
Mm.
So I didn't want to have to use that weeks later, but I haven't forgotten that. So I really enjoy just telling anyone that will listen about all the good of Jeff Bennett. You know, the charitableness and the laughs and the partying and, you know, his family. And he's just a great family guy, too.
Yeah.
And so just I love talking about him when I can to keep his memory alive.
That's right. Jeff Bennett, Jeff Bennett, Jeff Bennett.
Yes.
Just keep saying his name.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
for anyone who's listening, you can find them on social. I'll tag them in the post, and I hope you guys have an awesome day. See ya.
Thanks, Dana.
This episode of Malaprops and Moxie was recorded at the Huga Coworking Podcast Studio. You can find them online at wearehuga.com, and that's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. The music was recorded and produced by Young Citizen. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and write a review.